Coming up on the FSR Sarcfighter podcast, even more promise from the first drug developed just to fight sarcoidosis.
It really is gratifying to us at ATAR that the medical community, the patient community around the world are seeing efzofitimod as a potential really game-changing therapy that can change the way sarcoidosis is treated.
In this episode of the FSR Sarcfighter podcast, the CEO of ATIRE returns to talk about the promise of efzofitimod.
We want to get people off steroids. So we know steroids do a lot of bad things. Your listeners know all the bad things it does to their bodies.
Sanjay Shukla, coming up on the FSR Sarcfighter podcast.
This is the Sarcfighter podcast. Living with sarcoidosis and other rare diseases. Here's your host, John Carlin.
Hello, this is episode 112 of the FSR Sarcfighter podcast. I'm your host, John Carlin. This episode is brought to you by ATIRE Pharmaceuticals. To learn more about their new pulmonary sarcoidosis trial, EFSOFIT, visit stopsarcoidosis.org/ATIRE-trial. And as always, there's a link in the show notes. Well, everybody, I do this podcast to help you understand what's going on with you and to give you a sense of hope as you deal with this unpredictable disease. And you know, really, whether we're talking to people in the industry, whether we're talking to some of the folks at FSR, the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research, who are sort of the engine that drives everything in the sarcoidosis world, whether it's outreach to patients or whether it is trying to get more drugs developed or, you know, whatever it is, if there is a hub that is the center of everything that is sarcoidosis, it's the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research. And then there's all of these spokes. If you think of a wheel, there's all these spokes that come off of that hub. And all of those are everything that we talk about here on the podcast. And when you look at many, many different things that are out there, what everybody is looking for is hope, a way to cope with the disease, a way to maybe find what we'll be talking about today, to find a new drug to try and combat the disease, a way to understand why the drugs you're already taking are or are not working, or why they may be working, but there are significant side effects, and to see how other people are dealing with that, and so maybe give you a path forward to find a way to say, well, if I do this and I do this, I can make it work. All those different things. And so that's what the hope is all about, and that's what I try to shine a light on here on the podcast every 2 weeks. And I'm pleased to report today that there is a great deal of hope coming up in today's episode. Sanjay Shukla, the CEO of ATIRE Pharma, is back today. And this is a very busy man who is juggling all kinds of things in countries all around the world. In fact, today he'll be talking to me from South America. All right. But he has a very promising update on the first drug ever developed specifically to fight sarcoidosis, efzofitimod. And we talked a lot about how the EFZO-FIT trial is getting close to completion and how this drug is continuing to show great promise. And one of the things that he shared with me is that the medical world is beginning to take real notice of this. It's been on the radar for a while, but you know, the closer it gets to becoming a reality, the more people are sitting up and saying, they got something there, right? And Sanjay can't say that. I can't say that. Nobody can say that. But the closer it gets, every time it clears another hurdle, the closer it becomes to possibly becoming reality. And so medical publications are showing more and more interest. They're starting to write about it more. And I think this is a very telling development. Patients who have been in the trial are saying to the company, well, we want to continue to stay on this drug. You know, I know that you were supposed to treat me for 6 months and you were, or a year, whatever it is. And then I was supposed to stop, but I feel like I'm doing better on this drug and I want to stay on it, even though it was scheduled to conclude after my part of the trial. And that's not a quick decision for your doctor or really even for ATIR or a hospital. I mean, it's something the industry calls compassionate use, and they have to get approvals and all sorts of things in order to say yes to the patient that wants to continue taking it. But that is happening. And Sanjay is going to talk more a bit about that. So I'll be getting to the interview real shortly here and talk about the developments as the clinical trial does begin to wind down a little bit and efzofitimod gets closer and closer to becoming hopefully, potentially, dare I say likely, an option for sarcoidosis patients. Now, so let me just do that. But quickly on a personal note, another 2 weeks has come and gone. My SARC remains at bay. That's good news. It is now 5 years since 2019, which was like ground zero for me just having my worst bout with a flare since I was diagnosed in 2016 and taking all kinds of drugs and Cytoxan, which is a chemo drug. And it was 2019 was like my worst year ever with sarcoidosis. And the reason that's coming up now is, you know, if you've got Google Photos or any of these different apps that want to show you, look, here's how much fun you were having 5 years ago in your life. Well, every time I get a picture, it's me with my face all blown up from the prednisone and just remembering that I was having, you've heard me talk about it, but having a hard time mowing the lawn. I do one pass and have to stop and catch my breath. You know, just those kinds of things. And because it was 5 years ago, now that it's 2024, those pictures just keep coming up day after day after day, and I'd really rather not see them. But yesterday, my wife and I, we went for a nice bike ride here in Virginia's Blue Ridge in the mountains. There's a new emerging sector of bicycling called gravel biking. You've heard me talk about it before. It's not mountain biking, which is real aggressive riding where you're riding over rocks and roots out in the woods, which I do occasionally. And it's not either road biking, which is where you have a super light bike with skinny tires and you go out and you ride on the highway or, you know, or on a greenway or, you know, a hard surface. And so that's a light, nimble, fast bike. A gravel bike is something in between. It sort of looks at a glance more like a road bike with, like, if you're not a cyclist, what I call the Ram style handlebars, as opposed to a flat handlebar like a mountain bike has. But it's got tires that approximate those of a mountain bike, but it doesn't have all the shocks and suspension and everything you need to ride over logs and rocks. But you just go out and you basically ride back roads, dirt roads, and these bikes go over them beautifully. So it was just a beautiful spring day yesterday, and I was feeling relatively strong for this time of year. And I don't know if I've shared before, but Mary and I are taking vacations this year. We're going to go to Alaska and ride our bikes and do some kayaking and that sort of thing, some hiking in Alaska. And then we do have a plan to ride all the way across New York State later on this summer. So we're kind of in training for that. But otherwise, my workout for today, which is a Sunday, is I'm going to be spreading hopefully 25 bags of mulch around the shrubs and in my yard, and I'm probably going to need another 25 bags, and my back is already hurting, I can just tell you. I'm starting to age out of this, and I'm stubborn. I don't want to pay a landscape guy to come do it, but I may have to give in to that. And I will tell you that that is not completely unrelated to sarcoidosis, because you've heard me talk about my spinal injury, which is a result of sarcoidosis, and also the sort of open spine surgery, if you will, that led to a little bit of damage on my spinal cord. And as a result, I have to work very hard and be very conscious of keeping the muscles in my core from just turning to jelly. I guess the term you would use is atrophy, but they're somewhat numb, if you will, and I have to be very conscious about doing things to keep them strong. And while I can tell myself, yeah, you can go to the gym and work out, or you can lift 25 bags of mulch, at the end of the day, lifting the bags of mulch just seems a lot more arduous and a lot more difficult. It does result in the yard looking better, which I have that going for me, but it's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's hard. So pity party, first world problems for John today, but that's what I've got going on after I finished recording this. But I'm very excited to share my interview with Sanjay with you here today. Having said all that, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. I want to ask you to help me reach more people. If you would, share it on your social media. Tell people about the FSR Sark Fighter podcast, and let's make the value of the stories and the information that people share here on the podcast that much greater than it already is by reaching more people, okay? So if you share it on your social media, or just tell one other person that you listen to or that you've appeared on the Sark Fighter podcast. It's much appreciated. All right, time to get to Sanjay. It's coming up next here on the FSR Sark Fighter podcast.
I feel like a zombie, just feeding at stumbling.
Hi. I hope you're enjoying the Sark Fighter podcast. You may be wondering, what can I do to help? How can I be a part of the sarcoidosis solution? It's simple. Make a donation to KISS, Kick In to Stop Sarcoidosis. 100% of the money goes to the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research. Look for a link in the show notes of the Sark Fighter podcast. Welcome back to the FSR Sark Fighter podcast, and joining me today is Sanjay Shukla, the CEO of Atire Pharma. And Sanjay, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. I'm glad to be back. It's been a little while since I was on your show, and I'm thrilled to be back. Reoccurring guest status now, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to have you here for sure. Very anxious to talk about the progress you're making with efzofitimod as a potential replacement for steroid treatment for sarcoidosis patients. But before we get into that, you are in Brazil this morning. Why?
I am. I just got off the plane a little while ago, made it down to Sao Paulo. Really exciting times here in Brazil as Atire has expanded its clinical trial into Brazil. Last year, when we presented some of our new mechanistic data and just how our drug works, we were at a major medical conference, and a number of experts from different countries approached us saying, we would love if we could try this therapy in our country. We had the trial actively running in the US, Japan, different parts of Europe. But the opportunity here to provide a potential real transformative therapy to Brazilian patients was something we worked through over the last, I'd say 6-8 months. And the Brazilian regulatory authorities gave us a green light a few months ago. And I'm here today and tomorrow to meet with over half a dozen of our centers here, 6 or 7 centers. The hospitals, their experts, the pulmonologists down here to really launch the clinical trial. We have already started the trial down here, but it's a great opportunity to bring together all of the local experts here. So I just made it here to Sao Paulo.
Sao Paulo is a huge city, isn't it? Isn't it like 3 times the size of New York or something like that?
From what I can tell, yes. This is my first time here, it looks like there's going to be a lot. I wish I had more time to see a lot of it, but it looks like a massive city here. I'll see if I can sneak away to get a little local flavor at some point, perhaps tomorrow.
Yeah, that sounds great. So what does this mean in terms of the evolution of efzofitimod as it gets closer and closer to being available for all sarcoidosis patients, assuming that it passes all the phases and so forth, and you're very close to that and gets FDA approval. But how does this advance the cause, what you're doing right now?
Well, I think, first off, we are in that sort of final stretch now, and I describe it as sort of a sprint now to finish our trial, with effectively 9 countries and more than 90 centers around the world now recruiting for this trial. It really is gratifying to us at ATAR that the medical community, the patient community around the world are seeing efzofitimod as a potential really game-changing therapy that can change the way sarcoidosis is treated. We still have to finish the trial and read the data out, but I'm really happy with our progress. And now our progress is moving into even other regions of the world, largely built on what we've already shown in this trial, but also over the last 6 or 7 years. As you know, we've known each other for a little bit of time now. We have progressed through phase one, phase two, and now this phase three trial, the only phase three trial really ever in sarcoidosis. So really getting close, making a final push, and countries like Brazil are helping us reach that goal of 264 patients that will be enrolled globally. So this is a therapy that countries all around the world and the local regulators, their version of the FDA, are all very excited to potentially have a first therapy available for sarcoidosis patients in all of these countries.
So 264 is the magic number. What number are you at right now?
I get asked that a lot. We're a public biotech company, and I knew you would ask me. we're getting closer. I don't get into exact numbers, but what I have committed is I expect to see us finish this trial in the next quarter, meaning somewhere in the April to June timeframe. There's a little bit of a 90-day period there. We have to see how things progress. But really liking the trajectory and the pace in which we've enrolled in this trial. And this is, 264 patients will be the largest sarcoidosis study ever. So it's a major, major accomplishment. And we wouldn't be where we are without the patients really dedicating their time. At the same time, we're trying to make a final push here. And that's why, I'm here in Brazil to look to enroll patients here. And then hopefully if we demonstrate good things, then the drug can get approved here as well.
And we were talking just briefly before we started recording, but one of the doctors who is there turns out is my doctor, Dr. Manny from the Cleveland Clinic. So he's there consulting with you.
Yes, Dr. Ribeiro is one of our key sub-investigators at our lead center, Cleveland Clinic. And it just so happens he was here. I'm traveling down here for spring break to visit family.
Gotcha.
So it was a great opportunity to bring an expert in efzofitimod and who has been actively involved in enrolling patients in this trial and even in the last trial, working closely with Dr. Culver there. Having that local support and demonstrating that the medical community really worldwide has its eyes open around what efzofitimod can do, is hypothesized to do from a mechanism standpoint, but also what's actually happening in the trial has a number of experts excited.
And I know because I've been following this so closely since you've been on the show many times that the drug is living up to its promise to the extent that we know. Like everybody who's taken it has been proven safe and it appears to be effective. And can you just sort of back into what we collectively, the sarcoidosis community and you as a company had to prove in order to get to where you are?
Sure. So, and I think this is very important for all the listeners to understand that this is a journey that I started about 7 years ago. So ATIRE took the really initiative and probably one of the only companies in industry to really dedicate, you know, most of its time and effort to sarcoidosis. And that early therapy, efzofitimod, was at that time called ATYR, ATIRE 1923. And that was when it was tested in animals to first make sure it was safe in animal testing, but also to learn what is it doing in animals. And it had some really nice effects, anti-inflammatory effects, anti-fibrotic effects. And it seemed to do so in a different manner that than some of the drugs that have been tried for sarcoidosis. So over the course of several years, we then moved it, you know, closer to around 2020, 2019, 2020, and into healthy volunteers, all the while showing it's safe again now in healthy volunteers. And then I think the big moment was a few years ago when we ran a phase two trial in patients. And that was primarily just in the US with about 15 centers. And that was 37 sarcoidosis patients that showed that early sign of effectiveness. If just to remind everyone, efzofitimod in that clinical trial showed that it improved lung function. It really improved quality of life, cough, fatigue, shortness of breath, but it did so while removing steroids. It was the first therapy to hit that trifecta. And it's what experts really wanted to see. And I think it got the attention of the whole worldwide lung expert community. So that was a trial we built on with this trial. All the while, we have to show that it's safe. So that was the other thing, that in that last trial, it was safe with 6 months of therapy. This trial is 1 year and it's a bigger trial. And we now really are trying to prove that the drug works now. But all the while, we have to make sure it's safe. So even during this current trial, there are iterative ways that you look at safety. We don't know what the patients are on in this trial, but we want to make sure that nothing pops out at us.
No serious side effects or something like that.
Correct. Correct. And one of the real core you know, value propositions for this therapy is we want to get people off steroids. So we know steroids do a lot of bad things. Your listeners know all the bad things it does to their bodies. You don't want a new therapy, which is exciting, to have some other new side effect. As it is, steroids have massive side effects. So one of our goals at ATIRE is to produce a safe and effective therapy. And safe meaning it's got to be safer than steroids. And steroids are honestly not safe long term. They might do the trick in the short term, but there's a lot of bad effects here. So that's kind of the progress we've taken. And even in this trial, as I said, we have an independent, what's called a drug safety monitoring board. And these are experts who sit outside of the company, outside of our trial, and they will look periodically at our data to make sure there isn't anything spooky emerging from, you know, the patients that are currently being treated in this clinical trial.
Yeah, and that's so important. And in fact, I understand that a large number or a certain number of patients who are in the trial have asked to continue to receive efzofitimod even after their trial is over because they think it's been effective. And you as a company have to decide if you want to do that and how you want to do that. And it's also encouraging. Could you comment on all of that?
Yeah, this is big news, kind of hot off the presses here in the last month or two at ATIRE. Over the course of the trial, I've been speaking with first a couple, and you know, then you get into you know, 5 or 6, 10, 12. You start to get tapped on the shoulder at major medical conferences by experts who are involved in the trials who've come to me saying, Sanjay, I have a patient doing quite well. I'm very surprised. Somebody that I've been trying to get off steroids for 5 years or 10 years, or in one instance, someone said 20 years. And over the course of being in our trial, 6 months, 7 months, you know, 9 months, the patients are doing quite well. Beyond just from a safety perspective, they are demonstrating improvement, their quality of life. And I think a lot of it has to do with getting off steroids, which effectively that's what I think this drug can do. I think it can wean people off steroids and in some cases get them completely off steroids. So it had gotten to the point a few months ago where ATAR needed to make a decision, because we have patients right now finishing the trial. They're rolling off the trial and they've been on therapy for a year, but we still might be, you know, more than a year now before we actually have that discussion with the FDA when we finish the trial. You know, we haven't finished the trial yet. So that last patient, you have to wait a year after that to then unblind. And for your listeners, unblinding means this is a trial where we don't know what folks are on, but right.
That's how you get a proper analysis.
Correct. So we're not biased in any kind of way. Nonetheless, there are patients doing so well that they honestly are refusing to go back on steroids. And why would you? If you've had a taste of 6 or 7 or 9 months of being steroid free after 5 or 10 years on steroids, I think we would all want to pursue that kind of environment. I don't say therapy because we don't 100% know if it's the placebo or not. But as a company,
yeah, that's true, right?
But as a company, what we did is we said, look, we're going to create a vehicle, a program, which is essentially a compassionate use program that assumes that, okay, if you're on therapy and you want to continue this trial, we will provide drug for free to those patients so that they don't have to be put back on steroids and they can maybe remain for the next year until we unblind. Now, at that point, we would then, if we are successful, sit down with the FDA and say, okay, now we need to map out a formal kind of expanded access program. And these are all programs that before a drug is approved, we can, you know, basically offer it to patients at no cost while we wait for the trial to finish, while we wait for potentially the drug to be approved. So we're doing this quite early. Some of this we have to also make sure we had enough drug supply, and that drug supply was also safely manufactured. So ATAR has done a good job of getting ahead of that. So we also spend time with the FDA and they understand our manufacturing process. The drug is made here in the US. So I think it makes it a little bit easier to watch things. Okay, it's safe there. And then even in our trial, are things trending in the right direction from a safety perspective? So then this is where an individual patient with an individual local expert who's involved in the trial, this is just for patients in the trial, they can then make a decision. And there is a pathway to do this with the FDA. There's a pathway in United Kingdom where we can do this. In other countries, we're currently looking at how can we do this? And the response has been actually overwhelming after we've even announced. There's probably another 10 physicians who have reached out to me saying, I think I have a patient that would want to continue. So we think ethically it's the right thing to do. Scientifically, it's intriguing to me. And I think it's a great sign without knowing for sure, you know, what the patient is receiving.
I understand that you have to say that. But clearly, is this known as compassionate use? Is that the industry term for this? And when you make this decision, how much of it is ethical and how much of it is financial? Because you've got to manufacture the drug, you're providing it for free. You're not in mass production of the drug; you're in trial. And on the other hand, you know as much as you know, and that's it. But the patient wants it, and the doctor wants it.
Well, first of all, ATAR is making an investment with manufacturing at risk. So we are likely, I can't be certain, but we're likely the only company spending $30, $40 million to manufacture a drug that we may not, we're not 100% sure if it works. Why do we have to do that? We have to be ready day one that if this drug is successful and it works, you can be sure there's going to be thousands of sarcoidosis patients who are going to want it immediately. So we're game ready for that. I think that helps us with our ability to do these sort of creative programs. Compassionate use is the exact term. This is used quite a bit in cancer. Compassionate use is something that you might see early on with cancer trials. In our scenario, it's obviously a different disease, but because we have drug product that is available, we have demand from patients and providers, and we have data. So, you know, there's three D's there, right? Drug product, demand, and then data showing that, hey, it's safe. This then allows us to have a conversation to say, okay, if you are a trial participant, and, you know, this is restricted to trial participants. So if you're participating in the trial, and it's something I couldn't 100% say a couple of years ago because I didn't have all three of those D's covered at that time. But now we're feeling good about that. And I think it's as I said, it's a very, very positive early sign that, you know, we're meeting the promise here. But
could you explain in layman's terms what it does in the body? Like, is it within a cell? Does it stop cells from doing things that create inflammation? I mean, what does it do?
So we have one thing ATAR does here is, as a company, we publish a lot of medical literature and scientific literature. Mm-hmm. We're known as a company that really gets things out there. And we need to do that. All of industry needs to do that, whether or not drugs are successful or not, so that the audience can learn. And in this case, the audience are lung experts, but also some of the smartest experts in sarcoidosis are patients. You know, in rare disease, I've worked in lupus and myasthenia. You learn so much also from the patients. We know inflammation plays a huge role in sarcoidosis. And now we really understand efzofitimod. Years ago, I told you that it's modulating and sort of, you know, re-guiding inflamed cells. But now we can specifically even see these immune cells, which are primarily cells like macrophages. A macrophage is something there that is meant to sort of scavenge and eat up, you know, whatever badness is happening in the lung. But for some reason in sarcoidosis patients, those macrophages just keep perpetuating this sort of inflammation.
That's what forms a granuloma.
They're trying to do their job, and eventually over time, they sort of change into a granuloma, and that's not good. And a granuloma is largely composed of these macrophages that have gone through a change, and sometimes are clumped up with T cells. You know, it's another type of immune cell that your listeners have heard of. Efzofitimod does a really nice job of, I would say, retuning those macrophages. So those macrophages are running a little haywire. And what we have seen now, and this will be published in a large publication, in a major scientific journal this year, we are seeing efzofitimod effectively retune, re-guide those macrophages. And there's this notion that they get away from that sort of fibrotic, inflamed state, and they kind of move into this, hey, we're going to resolve some things here, and we're going to calm some things down. So we are seeing this. Last year, we presented this at American Thoracic Society and also at World Association for Sarcoidosis. So really deep understanding now of how the drug works. And it, you know, what I really like about it, and I always liked about it, is it didn't have this sort of effect where it sort of pushed your immune system. You know, we need our immune system to still work in a healthy way.
Right.
But it didn't push it all the way down where you might be susceptible to infection or things like that. So there's always this concern that sometimes drugs, even some of the drugs right now used for sarcoidosis off-label, the TNF blockers, you know, you have to watch those because there is a risk of cancer where you push things too far. So that is something that you always have to watch for in those therapies. But what I like about efzofitimod is it's more of a resetting type of drug, and it restores that what I would call the healthy state. And I think that's what's really unique about the type of science we work on. So in layman's term, Efzofitimod is an anti-inflammatory, but it's really kind of resetting the immune system. And we are seeing this. We have demonstrated this scientifically through experiments. And I think it's quite exciting that now even experts are learning more about how these proteins work very differently than other drugs that are currently tried for sarcoidosis.
And do I understand that efzofitimod is showing some promise in combating some other illnesses, rheumatoid arthritis or something like that? I'm sorry, I can't
Well,
remember. I'm doing this off the top of my head.
we actually ha we have shown effectiveness in animals in rheumatoid arthritis and
Okay.
rheumatoid arthritis related lung disease. But efzofitimod is actually now being tested in a phase two patient trial in scleroderma patients. So these are
Right.
scleroderma patients who have lung disease. So that's called scleroderma related interstitial lung disease. So again, a different form of lung inflammation. But in this case, patients who have this systemic disease, scleroderma, which affects a lot of your connective tissue, your joints, your skin, can make it very fibrotic. Sometimes scleroderma patients, their disease attacks their lungs. So this is an autoimmune disease. And it presents with not granulomas, but quite a bit of lung inflammation, where you again are stuck in this loop of bad inflammation. And we previously had some data in some animal models that looked very compelling for efzofitimod to be tested there. And those are diseases also where macrophages and other kinds of myeloid cells are also running a little haywire. So we think we can also reset some things for those patients. But that is one step behind sarcoidosis. It's in phase two, and that's a US study right now.
Sure. Let me get back to sarcoidosis patients, but it's interesting to hear that there's some other potential upside to efzofitimod. But we've talked a lot about, of course, 90% of people who have sarcoidosis have pulmonary sarcoidosis. But there are a lot of people who come on the FSR Sarc Fighter podcast who have cardiac involvement or have neurosarcoidosis. But as far as efzofitimod is concerned, it doesn't really matter where it is in the body. It would still block those or redirect those macrophages, right? As far as
Yes,
you know.
no, from a scientific rationale perspective, yes, you're correct. So the theory that you're talking about, yes, absolutely holds true. And while in our trial we are focusing on pulmonary sarcoidosis, I'd want everyone to understand we are enrolling patients who have other forms of sarcoidosis as well. You have to have lung plus, cardiac is allowed, neuros is allowed. However, those other kinds of extra pulmonary disease, those when those organs are affected, patients can sometimes be on other therapies. You might have more severe SARC. It might be something that would prohibit you from being in our trial. So this is where the experts look at our protocol and then they determine what makes sense. But yes, this trial will. The last trial was only lung, only pulmonary sarcoidosis. This trial is largely pulmonary sarcoidosis, but we have made some allowances. And this is the other thing: is now that the drug is, holding up from a safety perspective, there are going to be a few more patients in this trial who have mixed disease, who have lung and cardiac, or lung and neuro, or lung and kidney. And if this drug was successful enough to be approved, I think it would be available to all patients because a granuloma is a granuloma. And if you've got the ability to block one from forming, or if one has been formed to tamp down on it, I see no reason why a drug like efzofitimod could not be useful for those patients. It's just that when you run a clinical trial, you try to be focused. That's typically how you prove that drugs work in a focused population, and then you look to learn in broader populations after that.
It seems like, depending upon which medical center you go to, the sarcoidosis center within the hospital can be a rheumatologist, it can be a pulmonologist, it can be a, depending upon where you have it in your body, a neurologist. Where does where should sarcoidosis live within the medical community? I'm just curious because you deal with all these medical centers.
I think it should be all of the above.
All the above.
It's the kind of condition that requires what's called a multidisciplinary team, an MDT. Mm. And you see sarcoidosis and the more sophisticated centers start to now evolve their SARC clinics by having a mix of all of those experts available. Because you're right, John, that patients can manifest sarcoidosis slightly differently. Most, yes, have lung involvement, but having a team of doctors who have their specific area of expertise as part of the whole SARC clinic umbrella. What I have observed now being in this field these last 6-7 years, those centers, I feel like, are just dramatically, improved with their just on top. They're on top of everything.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that an individual expert can't also be on top of that, but some of the most, I think, successfully cared patients have those sort of multidisciplinary teams. And I think that's how SARC is evolving. Radiologists getting involved as well as
really
part of that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Just watching things. And then even if somebody has cardiac disease, the imaging that you need for that as well. So I do think that sarcoidosis is getting more and more attention from different specialties. And I think that's an effective way to treat the disease.
Yep. So we're in the home stretch. You called it a sprint. You're in Brazil. And again, folks, we're talking with Dr. Sanjay Shukla, who is the CEO of Atire Pharma. You're in Brazil. You're still enrolling some patients, but you think that by the middle of 2024, you will be able to conclude this trial. So how long before everything else plays out and this is an approved drug that sarcoidosis patients can take safely and easily and be on label and have it work?
Well, if all goes well, I'd like to file this for a potential submission at the end of 2025. So that's, we've always been a company that has had ambitious goals. But that was the goal in 2017 when I said, okay, we're going to start this program. And it can take that long, 7 to 10 years, to get a drug approved. We would expect that if our drug shows effectiveness, that the FDA would look to fast track an approval. We have already a fast track designation. So we can, these are things that we've shown in the past. Our data is been viewed positively. So we get certain designations. So that's like a card we can play to say, hey, we're going to go. It's like if you're at Disneyland or Disney World and, you wanted to maybe skip the line. That's a good thing, because I think then these regulators know how important it is that if a drug shows it has effectiveness and it's safe, hey, we got to review it quickly. So we're going to be ready for that at Atire. This is the last push here. We're still looking for patients. There's some parts of the U.S. where I thought, gosh, I would have expected more patients. Uh-huh. But I also know that there's a lot of patients who still come to me when I talk to them saying, I didn't know about this trial. So there's still awareness is still something that, we all have work to do in rare disease to get the word out. But we're making a strong push here in the U.S. and Europe, Brazil, Japan. And then that last patient who enrolls, we will effectively then follow that patient for a year. And then at that point, in 2025, we're hopeful for good results. And then we don't want to be sitting around waiting. We're going to then be pressing the FDA very quickly to hopefully get an approval, as I said, towards the submitted application towards the end of 2025.
Can you discuss which parts of the U.S. have been hard to recruit broadly?
Well, I'll just say this, that, if you're You know, if your patient in, you know, and this is in no specific order, you know, there's cities now where, you know, Dallas, Houston, Kansas City, you know, Tampa, Miami. If you're interested, if you're a patient in these places, we have great centers looking for patients.
Those are some pretty big cities.
These are large cities. Yeah. These are large cities, and you know, and then there's obviously, you know, areas that we've enrolled, you know, tremendously in, you know, North Carolina and Illinois and you know, Colorado, places like that. So it a lot of it just has to do with awareness. I think the patients will and do mobilize for clinical trials once they learn more about them, once they understand who the company is and what their science is about. So yeah, I sort of went through, you know, but your neck of the woods in Richmond, you know, we have a great center at VCU. I'm sure that they would be happy to take another patient in this home stretch here. Fairfax as well, you know, closer to my hometown.
Sure. Okay, very good. So Sanjay, just in wrapping up then, it sounds like everything is going well. It sounds like there's reason to be optimistic. I always tell my listeners that we are here to present hope to sarcoidosis patients. And I think everything you have said today represents hope.
Yes, I mean, I think hope is a powerful message here. I don't like to, on my side of the fence, trade too much on that. I like to stay tight and measured. You know that about me the last five or 6 years. But every time we've talked over the last 5 years, we have made great progress. And every brick that we're building is just a stronger and stronger foundation to what I think is, in my mind, potentially a great medication. I think it's a lot of work to get to phase three. I think there are always headwinds around how many other companies can get to this. You know, beyond just showing a drug works, you got to look at things like economic factors and can you raise capital? Can you also demonstrate you can enroll in a trial like this? You know, we have a lot of skeptics. Can you enroll 200 people in sarcoidosis? Oh, we're gonna prove them all wrong. And that's because the patients have been so instrumental and so motivated to be part of our trial. And what I'd like to just say to anyone out there, you know, if you are interested, you might be part of history, because this could also, these 264 patients that participate in our trial effectively could be helping hundreds of thousands of patients around the world, because you're serving it's almost a service being involved in this trial. And I also know that, you know, sometimes people get concerned, what does placebo mean? You're still going to get standard of care. It's just that you might just not have the one element, which is efzofitimod. In many ways, those are the real heroes once we're done in this trial, is the people who took a year and without knowing maybe got the placebo, they still got good standard of care, but that data served as sort of the anchor to compare whether or not, you know, you really have something here. And that's the other thing that I always try to, you know, we try to do here at ATAR. We want to really make a meaningful medicine. There's enough medicines out there that, you know, we complain about how, I don't know, did it work? This one, I want to make sure if it works, it works, and it should really change people's lives. So that's my last little pitch here, to sort of get to this last part of the sprint.
Great. Dr. Sanjay Shukla, thank you for joining me here on the SarcFighter podcast.
Thanks, John.
I feel like a zombie, just feeding at stumbling.
Thanks again to Sanjay for everything he does and for taking his time. He had just landed there in South America and got to the hotel and had the time and the wherewithal to open up the laptop and sit down and do the Zoom interview with me here. and to share all the great news about efzofitimod. So thank you so much. And we continue to look for updates from aTyr and continue to appreciate the risk that that company is taking. Probably most people don't feel sorry, if you will, for pharmaceutical companies, because those investors kind of know the game that they're getting into. But I just appreciate the fact that somebody somewhere or some buddies somewhere felt like sarcoidosis was something taking a risk on, and that they have continued to invest or do whatever happens in that level, which is certainly beyond my scope and understanding, but to continue to do whatever needs to be done to shepherd this thing through to hopefully the conclusion we are all hoping for. So, Sanjay, thank you. Thank you so very much. I need to remind you that the official Sark Fighter song is called Zombie by Mark Steyer and his band, the White Hot Lizards. Mark's story, the story behind the lyrics, is in episode 12. He is a fellow Sark Fighter. And of course, the Sark Fighter podcast, I'd like to remind you, comes out every other Monday. As I'm speaking today, neither of my trusty dogs are curled up in my office. Why? You know the answer, because Mary is home and they tend to be wherever Mary is in the house, and I play second fiddle, but I love him anyway. The backstory to the founding for the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research is episode 11 with Andrea and Redding Wilson. Please follow the Sark Fighter or Sark Fighter podcast on social media. The easiest thing to do is just search Sark Fighter, Facebook, Instagram, even on Peloton. My cycling blog, Carlin the Cyclist, has a section called Cycling with Sarcoidosis. If you're trying to just figure out what sarcoidosis is, go back and listen to episode 2 with Dr. Simon Hart, and my story is episode 1. Please send me an email if you'd like to appear on the show or share some thoughts and comments. It's in the show notes, and it's carlinagency@gmail.com. Until next time, keep fighting.
Learn to suffer. Trying to keep up the pace.